We have 14th District Senator Curtis King.
Wonderful. We're happy to be here. So thank you.
So glad to have you here. I saw you brought in a sack full of something.
I brought in some things to sweeten you gentlemen up.
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
I probably didn't bring enough to make it really work, but it's, you know, it's a start. It's a start.
Well, that looks like a bran muffin. We will hand that over to Lance.
Well, we don't want him to disappear. So.
We're trying to keep Lance regular.
Anything
I got some banana bread. I always take the banana bread.
Way to go, Lance.
We had some really tough questions to ask you this morning, and now it's just all going to be softball.
Pretty much. He's softening up the whole room.
I'm not as stupid as I look. There we go.
Politician, yeah.
So I guess community safety and supporting our police officers is on the menu these days.
Well, I hope it is. We're going back to session January 9th, face-to-face, on the floor, all those good things, which is really the way this government needs to run, because it surely hasn't worked very well the last couple of years, in my opinion. But safety's got to be. I mean, we're looking at the highest numbers of murders in our state. We're looking at the highest number of overdose deaths from drugs. And all of those things relate to our police departments and the lack of the police and the support that we've given them over the last 3 or 4 years. It's amazing to me what we've changed to make it more difficult for these individuals to do the job that needs to be done.
Well, and quite frankly, I don't think a lot of them want the job anymore. Yeah. I mean, the way between the vaccine mandates that decimated some of the numbers, coupled with the fact that we've made it harder to do their job.
Well, we limit it. I mean, we've limited what they can do, how they can do it, and then we've also added personal liability so that individual can be sued, personally sued. I mean, it's like...
That's ridiculous.
What kind of things
do you want to do? What are they supposed to get, liability insurance?
Yeah. If you've ever... I've done the State Patrol school, and one of the things we did was we drove up... You know, and here's an individual behind a fence, and you can hear him, you can see a little bit of him, and they come out, you get out of your car, you hide behind the door, and you tell them to come out with their hands up. Well, they come out. The first time they came out with a cell phone in their hand. Uh-huh. And you don't know what to do.
Did you shoot him?
I did not shoot him.
Oh, good.
The second time they came out with a gun in their hand. He got shot.
Yeah.
I mean, but you don't know. You're making these decisions in split seconds.
Yeah.
And we expect them to be perfect every time. We all know that's not going to happen.
And going through something like that, you know it's a simulation. You know it's not life and death and so forth. But in that moment, you do get kind of a glimpse of what they have to do.
I honestly, you think about these people have families.
Yeah.
I mean, they want to go home every night as well.
Sure.
And the situations that they are in, I mean, it's phenomenal. It is amazing to me.
Let me get this right. In the simulator, you don't shoot the guy who comes out with a cell phone.
No, you don't.
What if it's a detonator?
Oh, jeez.
I'm just saying.
He's an analyst. Well,
if you shoot him, you hope it's a detonator.
Boy.
Well, it depends on where the bomb is that he's going to detonate. That's the problem.
Either that or he's going to send you one of those annoying memes, you know, in which case maybe he should be shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Senate Bill 5035, which was introduced, I think, by Senator Patton, isn't it, out of Spokane?
Okay, it could be.
It's going to make possession or use of illegal drugs like fentanyl and methamphetamines and heroin a Class C felony with diversion opportunities in drug court. Fentanyl is just maybe a few years ago, nobody knew what that was.
No.
We now all too painfully know what it is, and we know that it's pouring in literally through our southern border. We know China is involved in the manufacture of that, but it's making its way here. People are literally dying every day from use of it. Sometimes it's accidental exposure to police. Sometimes it's medical professionals.
We've had it happen here in Yakima.
Yeah.
At Memorial.
Yeah.
I mean, nurses and a police officer and just exposed to it.
So do you think is one of the answers making the criminal penalty for use and or possession of something like this, is that going to be a meaningful part of the equation, do you think?
Well, it is a meaningful part, but I, in all honesty, I don't think it's going to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. We tried to point this out when the bill was passed that said, well, you can't arrest somebody if you discover they have fentanyl in their pocket, because they're going to say, as the gal did that our not-so-Supreme Court made the ruling on, that, well, I didn't know that was there. I just borrowed these pants from a friend of mine, and I didn't know it was there. And the Supreme Court said, well, that's a defense. Well, we're letting lots of people out of jail because of, guess what? Now they didn't know it was there.
Yeah.
But when you go to, we have a drug court here in town, an amazing drug court, does an absolutely great job. But you listen to those individuals that are going through that drug court, and they do it because they want to. They realize they've reached the lowest level they can reach, and the reason they're there isn't not necessarily that the offense they were arrested for was drug related, but they had drugs on them, and so yeah. it was tied to the drug part of it. They will tell you that if they weren't arrested, they would not have turned their lives around. They would not be there in that drug court trying to turn their lives around.
Yeah.
They would tell you they probably would be dead within a few years. And this is what we're finding with fentanyl, is this stuff is pouring in, as you've said. It looks like candy. Mm-hmm. I'm very concerned about all of that. But what you find is those individuals that have used fentanyl and have built it up over time, if they stop, and they relapse, well, they relapse at the same level. That's what kills them,
because sure.
The body can't handle it. It just takes them down.
It's 8:20, and we are talking with Senator Curtis King here in the studio on KIT.
So Lance just pointed out to me that the state gas tax moving up to 50 cents per gallon.
Oh, well, I don't know why that's the case, but it's 49 point something, I believe it is. 49.5 mm-hmm. has been that. What you're going to see is the price of gas going up, because after the first of the year, we're implementing was a bill called Low Carbon Fuel Standards. We're also implementing cap and trade. We believe the cap and trade is going to raise the price of gas just a little less than 50 cents a gallon. The low carbon fuel standards, we believe, is going to be somewhere between 30 and 35 cents a gallon. So the overall increase is going to be 80 some cents a gallon on the price of gasoline.
My goodness.
And we're doing all this in the name of the environment, but I would submit to you that neither one of those are going to have any kind of a major effect upon our environment. It's just a way to make it harder to and more expensive to drive your gas-powered cars, which is what it's all about.
I think what bothers me most is we are making policy on environmental issues that apparently the science has now solved. It's not in question anymore that we are going through global warming. It's a matter of what we're going to do to keep ourselves from being underneath, 10 feet of water on our coastal regions. Well, because that's the kind of policies we're making right now.
Meanwhile, it just snowed in Florida.
Yeah.
It just snowed in Florida. So. Yeah.
Well, it snowed in the Sierra Nevadas, and that's still, as they say, well, that's not enough. We need more. So, it seems like we've moved beyond the science, even considering that we might challenge the science, into it's a foregone conclusion, it's happening, so this is what we're going to do about it. And well, now we're in the policy.
And the steps
stage.
That they're making, all electric, they want everything to be electric. Well, you look at what happened in California. I mean, the governor is saying, all the cars have to be EV, all electric by 2035. Where you no longer can use natural gas in your homes. The new homes that are being built all have to be electric heaters, offices. We're going that route. Look at California. California is doing the same thing. Of course, that's where we get all of our ideas.
ideas.
But they had a heat wave right before Labor Day. And they were going to have electrical shortages. They were going to have brownouts and blackouts. And they knew it was coming.
Yeah.
What was the first thing the governor said? anybody that owns an EV, don't charge it till right. after Labor Day.
Right.
Well, if you want to go somewhere, yeah. Why do you have the car? Mm-hmm. But guess what? Don't charge it till after. The number of cars, all electric cars in the state of California, is less than 4% of the number of cars. Now, what happens when you get to 50%? And the demand for electricity and all of that. I talked to a trucker here in town in the state. They pointed out if you had a trucking company and you had 100 semis and you wanted to convert 10 of those semis over to all electric, you would need a substation in your facility to charge all 10 of those every night. Jeez. A substation. So what if they were all EVs?
Yeah.
10 substations in your... I mean, it's like...
Blackouts.
Nobody's thought about these things.
But why haven't they thought of it? Well, I mean, it just seems so obvious.
Because it doesn't fit their mantra that we got to do everything to save the world. Even though Washington State is less than 0.3% of the emissions in the world. 0.3%, less than. And it's going down because guess what? The goal that we set for 2020, we met that goal. Now, it took us 2 years before ecology would tell us that, although the governor knew it a few months ago and got to use it as a, you know.
Yeah.
But,
I have a feeling that it could be one of two things. It could either be just this complete ineptitude that is, you come to the conclusion first and then you kind of work the story back to fit your narrative. And it's like, the sky is falling. And then they come up with the ideas. Or it's something more sinister than that. Do they have you by the tail when you have an electric car and you can't charge it? Do they have you by the tail when they've said get rid of the animals that are creating the methane gas and we'll sell off a bunch of farmland to China? Well, so you won't really. I think it's more sinister than that. It could be, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, except when it comes to the Seahawks. But that's a different story. You see what I'm saying? I think pretty soon you control energy, you control food, you try to disarm everyone. Uh-oh. That's Orwellian. Well,
it's about government, and it's about government has the answers, and they have answers, but they're not always the right ones. But it is just that. They believe that this is what you do, but they've gotten the cart before the horse. When you look at electric cars, all electric cars, you find out, as they did up in Wenatchee with their all-electric buses, you can't leave them outside in the wintertime because they get so cold. They won't start. You got to put them in a heated facility. Well, what does that do for our environment, if I may ask?
And then
you look at, if you live in an area like Phoenix or these areas that have 120 degrees, the life of that battery is reduced. The life of the battery in cold is reduced. And they haven't talked about what do we do with 6 million batteries that no longer are viable, that they've, you know, their life.
I love that one. Where are we going to store those?
What's the cost going to be to replace some of these batteries?
At least a third of the car.
I was told when we met at Steve Hahn's, if I may say that, for their Toys for Tot last Friday, I was told that their Mercedes, they had one that came in, and I'm going to be low, but anyway, they had this Mercedes that came in, it had a battery problem. They had to replace the battery. $40,000+. Now, the manufacturer paid for it, but that's what it would have cost somebody. $40,000. There's a story of a family in Florida that bought a used EV.
Right.
You know,
$27,000
later, they got to replace the battery, and it's more money than what they paid for the car. But we've gotten the cart before the horse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're saying, oh, well, solar's going to do it. Well, go to California. They're finding solar panels in their dumps because people don't know what to do them when they're not working. And they're full of stuff that should not be in a dump. But we don't have a plan on what to do with those.
No.
What about the windmills? Those blades don't last forever. They've got like a 20-year life. You know how big those things are? And what are you going to do with them when you have 20,000, 30,000 of them? because that's where we're headed, folks. And what are we going to do? Nobody knows what we're going to do with them.
Yeah. Did you know that 3/4 of our natural gas went to Great Britain because in February of this year, they were not able to generate enough power from solar or wind?
Oh, my.
And they couldn't get their backups online fast enough for people to heat their homes. So our NGL went over there and caused our own prices to spike quite a bit.
We're selling electricity to California and other states.
Yeah.
Well, because we, in our wisdom, have said to our utility companies, 25% of your electrical use has to be renewable. And at the time, that didn't include hydro, and so we have to produce all this, and we have lots of electrical from hydro. So what we're doing is we're selling that to California and other states.
Boy.
So what are we going to do when we need it? I mean, it's like,
okay. Senator King, isn't hydro renewable energy?
Oh, it is definitely, and I think
it's
clean energy too. It's okay. The cleanest, but yeah. We can't build any more dams. We can't even put, we have been stopped on occasion from putting a generator in a canal that had enough flow to turn a generator and create electricity because it was too much like a dam. You can't build a new dam.
That's ridiculous.
The governor is telling us, like the windmills in Yakima County, the solar panel farms that they want to put out to the east of us. He's saying, we're just going to bypass the locals. We don't care what you think because we know what's best. And we're not going to let you slow us down.
Senator King's in the studio with us. We did hear from John via the messaging. John said about those electric car batteries. He said, go ahead and bury them alongside the blades from the big wind turbines. That's his suggestion. I love that. And Don is on line one. Don, what say you?
I've got a couple things to report to you, and it's just how much of a genius we have of operating these electric cars. My granddaughter just came up from Fort Myers, and during the big floods there, the people that own their $3 million homes on the shore, of course, they were smart enough to have them on big piers, and that's all fine. They parked their Tesla underneath it, and of course, what happens when you have ocean water damaging a big, huge car battery, it blows up.
Oh, no.
So their houses burned down. They weren't flooded.
Oh, my gosh.
Amazing.
They thought through everything, huh?
It's all part of the efficiency.
Clearly thought out. And the other thing, we went over to the zoo in Seattle to take the grandkids out. And so I'm thinking, well, okay, I'm going to get in trouble because I'm driving my big truck, you know. And so I pull up next to this Tesla that's charging with a diesel generator next to it.
Diesel generator. That's saved. Oh, my gosh. It causes you to just either laugh or you cry at this insane stuff, and you've got the right
attitude.
It's
absolutely true. But the other grandson, which has had a tremendous, and we talk about solar panels, he says he's guilty. He's down in Utah. He's made millions of dollars off of this. He says that it's due to government subsidies and et cetera, et cetera. I said, well, what are you going to do with all those panels when they're dead? And he said, I won't care. I'll be retired.
Another one. Don, thank you so much for the call this morning. We sure appreciate it.
The one thing we wanted to touch on before you left is the Power Washington, subtitled Sensible Solutions for Our Energy Future. We talked a little bit about it on Friday, but just give us a primer here on this piece.
Well, we rolled this out about a month ago, and it's a plan. I mean, it's here are the things you can do that will address our carbon issues, but you do it in a way that's reasonable. It's rational, and it's reliable. I mean, it gives you a grid that you can live with. What we're doing now is we're going to end up, if we keep going down the path we're going with the demand that we're putting for electricity, we're going to end up with brownouts. We're going to end up with blackouts. There are ways we can address our carbon issues, climate change, but do it in a reasonable manner. That's what this plan is about. It talks about supporting more hybrid cars, looking at the possibility of even building another dam, but definitely looking at canals where you can put a generator in a canal, and looking at sequestration and making our forests working for us, looking at nuclear. Modular nuclear reactors. I mean, they're clean, they're safe. We got to look at these things, and we need all of it. We even need to look at natural gas, and you know, that's a fossil fuel, which is a four-letter word. I graduated from the U, by the way, so I know it's a four-letter word.
fuel is anyway, a four-letter word.
But you know, it is. We got to look at how do we can't eliminate that. I mean, these are the things that, and that's what this plan is about. Something that, again, that just makes sense, that gives us a path to move forward. Is it perfect? No. What plan is? But at least it's a plan. Right now, there's no other plan in the state. It's just, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and maybe it'll work by the time we get there.
Plus, none of these ideas seem to be the kind that would totally decimate some kind of industry out there, and I don't hear you demonizing anyone with any of these plans. It seems to be that from the left, that's always what we hear. There has to be somebody who's responsible for something horrible. You know what I mean?
Always.
Well,
yeah.
And that's, I mean, they've accused us of always being the party that said no, no, no. And maybe to some degree we are. But what they wanted us to do, I mean, it made sense to say no. But at least we think with this plan, we're going to spell that no with a K-N-O-W, because we think we have a better plan that we know. Again, that's reasonable, reliable, and rational. So,
you know why you're the party of no, don't you? It's because you're in the minority.
Yeah, well,
and the majority is making all of the rules and the laws. What else could you possibly do?
That's about it.
There is no other option.
Sometimes it's a party of no,
not again.
No. Mom,
by the way, any support for this at all on the other side of the aisle?
Well, so far,
are there any sensible Democrats out there?
I think we, in all honesty, haven't had a real chance to sit down because we're not back in session yet. We've passed it out to a variety of my friends on the other side of the aisle. We plan on having discussions. We're dropping some bills related to the plan, and we're hoping we can get some buy-in. Because again, they're reasonable bills. They're not way out there. They're not, you know, and none of them are. We're going to go build a new dam. But the part that is interesting to me is that, you know, as I said before, the governor has said, well, we're just going to bypass all that. We know as a state what we're going to do, and we're not going to let any county, whatever, the local jurisdiction slow us down. My question is, what are they going to do when a tribe says, no, we don't like that? Are they going to stop, or are they just going to keep right on going like they would with everybody else in the state? Uh-huh. That's a concern.
Very interesting.
Very, very fair point. Senator Curtis King, thank you so much for taking the time to come in, and I know we held you over a little bit, but these are pressing issues that people care about, and it's great hearing from you, and we appreciate how accessible you are when there is a question.
Well, so. I appreciate the opportunity, believe me, and we'll just keep pressing forward. There are good people on both sides of this aisle, and we're going to try and work with all of them to try and find good solutions that work for the citizens of the state of Washington.
Awesome.
And while I have you, let me wish you both, or all three of you, a very Merry Christmas, and thanks for the time, and Merry Christmas to all my constituents out there as well.